Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to be able to share your word with your people. And dear God, we pray, dear God, that your word would continue to build us up, would encourage us, would strengthen us, would give us insight and wisdom into the times that we are living in. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to preach on the subject entitled Certainty in the Midst of Uncertainty. What do you go to when things do not look certain? And 2020 has been filled with all kinds of uncertainty. You see just so many different things happening. We obviously have the COVID situation. You also have the unrest and with the justice system, just all these different things that continually make us have to really see, where do we go? It's sometimes, have you ever been in a place in your life where you just need to get a fresh air, and it's just like everything else is holding your air back? We have to get to that place where we can get to fresh air. Amen. So what do we do when we are uncertain? As you look on the news, and I'm not a news watcher because I feel like the news is trying to create moods for us, but we have to make sure that we are certain of where we can go. And our number one place is just being in the presence of God, whether that's in reading his word, whether that's studying and praying, whether that's worshiping. Church, we must continue to stay at his feet. That's the word for today. If I didn't say anything else, that would be good enough for you, but I have more. Amen. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I heard this in my spirit several times, and I heard the first part that says in verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And it has a whole bunch of things that happen in that world point, in that worldview. But I actually want to go to verse 10 through 17. I'm sorry. Yeah, 10 through 17, which talks about us as the body of Christ. So it says there's going to be a lot of issues. There's going to be a lot of drama. There's going to be a lot of pestilence. There's going to be people that are hoarders. They're going to be lovers of money and all that. You can read that in the first half of the chapter. But then it says, the man of God and the word of God. That's actually the title. The man of God and the word of God. How do we adjust to the times that we're in? So let's go ahead and read it. It says, but you, that's me, that's you, whoever has followed Christ, carefully follow my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch. It says, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And as I read that earlier, that was powerful. The Lord is still a delivering God. I don't care what you are going through. I don't care what your situation looks like. He can turn it around for your good. I heard the word say, all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So continue to stay on track. Amen. He will deliver you. Verse 12 says, yes, and all who suffer, I'm sorry. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The truth is, we all will have to go through something. Whether we want to or not, we all will have to go through something. But where do you put your hope? Where do you put your certainty when things around you are uncertain? Says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. I don't know about you, but this is happening even now. They'll grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Have you ever met somebody that was deceived? They thought they really knew what was going on, but they were truly deceived. It was like the wool was over their eyes and everybody else. And you're just like, man, how come you can't see it? It's clear as day. But they don't see it because deception is a blinder. Deception continues to keep people from seeing the things that they should see. With just the situation that we're going through with the justice system, there's some people that don't see the wrong in that. There's some people that are, they're like, oh, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. You're, and that's not right. Jesus, when he walked the earth, he was moved with compassion when he saw things. And to top it all off, the justice system murdered Jesus. They had a hand in that. But enough of that. Let's go on. It says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, that's me, that's you, must continue in the things which you have learned. So listen, if you've read the word of God, or if you have some understanding of the word of God, it's important to continue in that, right? So I don't care if you only know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have an everlasting life. If that's all you know, you're going to learn some more right now. But if that's all you know, you have to stay on course with that. You don't just remove that. You say, okay, God, help me learn that, but help me add to my learning. Add wisdom to my wisdom. Add understanding to my understanding. That's something that God can do. But it says once again, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, initially, Paul was actually writing this to Timothy, and that's why he talks about his childhood. Timothy was raised up in a godly household where they read the word of God, where he was trained up to know how to walk in today, or walk in the day that he was in. He was trained, and Paul was telling him, don't forget that. Me as a pastor, I feel like our job is to, or pastors all over the world, is to continue to train people up, to continue to have it, so when they go throughout life, they are prepared. See, church is a preparing. When you gather together, or when you're even watching this, this is to prepare you for what you're going to face. You're going to face real things in life. Know that, but know that God is with you, and you can hold on to the things that you've learned in God. Amen. Here's one of the scriptures that we hear that is very, just backs up the whole word of God. It says, all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then it says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I'm going to say this. I believe that you will be thoroughly equipped for whatever you go through. But God wants you to be thoroughly equipped with the word of God. See, you have to have the word of God in you. It does no good. I know we grew up with people that used to have the Bible in their dashboard, on their cars, or they even put it in the back. I don't know what you call that. Is it a dashboard as well? But the back of the car, you know, and it was like, oh, it's going to keep me safe. Some people used to sleep with the Bible under their pillow. Listen, that's religion, okay? There's nothing that the Bible, the actual book, will do if you don't apply it to your life. All right. You cannot just have a Bible next to you and be like, oh, I'm holding on to this book. And, you know, the movies, they start rocking because they got the Bible. And listen, nah. You got to read it. And not only do you got to read it, you got to become a doer of the word for it to work in your life. Amen. The Bible is not some magical thing. It is you read and you do, and faith will cause things to happen in your life because you're trusting in the word of God. My next point, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, and that's not too far away from there. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, and this is the role of leaders in the church today. We as leaders, I say this, and I really mean this, I think that with times like this that we go through and we're going, you know, we're just continuing in, we definitely have to make sure the words that we are saying are not just words that we want to speak. Not words that we just want to say, oh, yeah, let me make sure I say something. It's important for us to prepare and seek God to see what he wants to be said in this time. And I think just now more than ever, when you see things become more and more uncertain, that's when you have to say, God, okay, let me press into you. Let me remove some of the distractions. If I have some things in my life that are keeping me from hearing you, I need to get rid of them, right? So it's important that we as leaders make sure we are doing the job and of equipping, all right? So let's go. It says, and he, the Lord himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This is what our job is. See, if you're a pastor, you don't just be like, oh, I'm the pastor, hallelujah. Hey, I like you like my outfit. No. It's more than that. It says your job, even if you're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, your job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. Right now, more than ever, we need to equip people that are in the body of Christ to be strong, to know who they are, to know what God has purposed them to be. And it is our job as leaders. This is my job. So if you got a resume, what is the description of what you do? We are equipping saints and edifying the body of Christ, right? Then it says, till we all come to the unity, oh my goodness, of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So let me stop there for just a second. One of the things that Jesus said, and one of the things I even posted this week, was Jesus's prayer was for the church, the body of Christ, to be in unity. When you think about unity, it doesn't look like what the church looks like today. We got to do a better job of that. And this goes beyond race. This goes beyond traditions. This goes beyond congregations. We have to understand that God's prayer is for us to be united. And it says part of the job of a pastor, a leader, teacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist, our job is to unite. After we edify, after we equip, it is also to unite so we can become the perfect church that God is looking for. And guess what? I believe that's kind of where we are right now. I believe there's a lot of equipping. I believe there's a lot of edifying, but I feel like there's not a whole bunch of uniting. How can we get united? Is there something inside of you? And I have to say, God, if there's something inside of me that's keeping me from uniting with your people, remove that so that I can be who you've called me to be. Amen. This is going to help us be certain in times of uncertainty, because I don't know about you, but there's going to be some times where you're going to need a brother to pick you up. You're going to need somebody else that may not always be in your corner. They might come and say a word, and it'd be the word that you needed right then and there. I remember I went to a camp, and at this camp, it was I was there with some Russians, and they spoke Russian, and I spoke English. I didn't really know too much Russian, but in their presence, when I was around them, I can feel that they loved God. I can feel the Holy Spirit in this place. You know what I mean? So there was somebody that would translate, but you could feel the love. And I was like, man, it's like we've known each other for years. Why? Because there's a unity in Christ. When we don't allow division, when we don't allow just all the different things that we allow to keep us separated, when we remove that and say, hey, we want to be united, God can do something with that. Amen. Verse 14 says, after we're united, after we're the perfect man or the perfect body of Christ, then it says that we should no longer be children. See, when you're a man, you can't be a child, at least mind-wise. Your mind should be different, right? So when we, as a church, get out of the childlike mind state, we can become the men and the women of God that he's called us to be. And it'll keep us from, as it says, being tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunningness, craftiness of deceitful plotting. My goodness, when I read that verse, that's funny to me, right? It says in the cunningness, craftiness, deceit. It got all these words in there just to let you know that they're slithering, trying to do something wrong. But we can't fall prey to that, because we need to be connected. Amen. It's easy to fall off a cliff when you're by yourself and you don't have nobody to help you. You might slip, but if you got, and I'm not a rock climber, just listen for the record. But when you got people linked up with you, they can hold you up, right? They're able to get you back up. Why? Because you're linked up with somebody. Don't do this thing on your own. Don't be a lone ranger of a sort. Be linked with the body. Amen. It says, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplied, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. So the whole goal of this part is, yeah, our role as leaders is to equip. It is to teach. It is to train. But it is also to unify, so that we can be united and not divided. When we are united, we can conquer so many different things, especially the deception. Leaders, we should be united with other leaders. We should be praying with other leaders. We should have a connection. We must have that. Amen. Lastly, just in times of uncertainty, one of the things that we all hear and it's been spoke is, if my people, in 1 Corinthians 7, 14, 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, since 2020 came, I don't know how many times that scripture has been posted or shared or spoken, but it's very important that we got to understand that was a message to the people of God. It wasn't a message to the world. It was a message to the people of God. So there's wickedness in ourselves that we need to get rid of. We have to seek God and say, God, I humble myself. God, I don't know all the answers. I'm trying to make sure I'm in right standing with you. I pray. I ask you for direction. Why? Because I need you, God, to move on my situation. I need you, God, to change the unrest in the area that we are. We pray these things, and our prayers are stronger than our actions. But our prayers should even move us to different actions, right? Because that's what God is able to do when he has a hold of you. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is actually, it's an answered prayer to what Solomon prayed in the previous chapter. So that if we go to 2 Chronicles 6, verse 26, this is when they were dedicating the temple. And it says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel, that they may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. It continues to say, when there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when the enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own griefs and spreads out his hands to this temple, then it says, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of men. Then it says that they may fear you to walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you have given or which you gave to our fathers. And then we see the answer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, it's interesting because we see God respond to Solomon's prayer. In times of uncertainty, guess what? God will respond to your prayer. Know that he will. Stretch out your hands to him and say, God, I am in need of you. I am in need of direction from you. God, forgive me, for I have sinned. Forgive me. Give me your mindset. Change my mind. Forgive my mind. Forgive me for thoughts that I've thought that weren't yours. This is very important, especially in times of uncertainty, because we know we can run to the most certain thing in life, and that's Jesus Christ. We have him. And when we are facing things, know that Jesus does not, he's not just on a picnic in heaven. He says that he is interceding on your behalf, on the right hand of the Father, praying for you. He's praying for you. He's pulling for you. So be certain of that. Amen. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.